Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great little study guide, whether you're in pharmacology classes, taking board exams, or if you're out in practice, a great little refresher if you haven't had any pharmacology classes in a while. I also want to mention, I've had a couple of books released, MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology and MedEd 101 Guide to Drug-Food Interactions. So both of those you can find on Amazon, and I've got some really, really nice responses and reviews from folks like yourself who have purchased those and benefited from them. So go check that out. Obviously, that helps grow this podcast and allows me to be able to try to do the best job I possibly can. So I'm appreciative to all of you who've supported that. All right, so let's get into the drug of the day today, and that is cabergoline. Brand name of this medication is Dostinex. Now, maybe you've seen this medication, maybe you haven't in practice. I will say it's definitely more on the rare side. But I have seen it a few times for sure. This drug is classified as a dopamine agonist. It's definitely structurally different from some of the other maybe more traditional or more commonly used dopamine agonists, such as ropinirole, such as pramipexole. Those would be Mirapex and Requip. It's also an ergotamine-type derivative drug, so it's got a little bit of that aspect too, and I'll touch on that briefly in drug interactions too. So, being a dopamine agonist, where would we see this medication used? Now, you might jump right away to, you know, restless leg syndrome, something like that, and I can tell you it's not in practice used for that. The primary indication that I've seen it used is hyperprolactinemia. Okay, and hyperprolactinemia can cause symptoms like amenorrhea in females, galactorrhea, like inappropriate milk secretion. And yeah, I mean, that can be caused by multiple things, hyperprolactinemia can. But as a pharmacist, one of the most critical things I do is look at the medication list. And so if I see cabergoline prescribed, I'm definitely looking at that med list and saying, okay, are there any other meds here that would increase prolactin levels? And usually the most common ones are going to have a mechanism opposing cabergoline. So that would be those with dopamine antagonist activity. Now, if you remember from previous podcasts, I've covered numerous antipsychotics. So your risperidones, your quetiapines. And within that class of antipsychotics, there are varying degrees of the likelihood of causing hyperprolactinemia. I'm not going to get into that today, but note that it's really, really important to go back and look and make sure that drugs aren't worsening a new condition that's causing a new prescription like cabergoline in this situation. Other possible indications, to be frank with you on this, Cushing's, I haven't seen that. Acromegaly, haven't seen that, at least not anytime recently. So again, pretty rare this drug is used, and I would say in my experience, the most common situation I've seen it used for is that hyperprolactinemia. Now, I mentioned the drugs causing hyperprolactinemia. The most probably common situation that's not drug-related is like a pituitary tumor, where basically the body is inappropriately secreting excessive prolactin. A little bit about the dosage form and tabulation, as well as the kinetics here quick. The drug has a half-life of 63 to 69 hours. So that's a really long half-life. So this drug is typically only dosed once or twice a week. So that's kind of a unique thing about the medication. And again, that's in most situations. Side effect profile. So go back, think about some of your physiology. My guidance on this is to think about dopamine excess. So when we think about dopamine excess, we think about something like Parkinson's disorder and using a drug like Sinemet. So Sinemet is basically, we're replacing dopamine. So if you use Sinemet, you're going to potentially have some overlapping adverse effects that you would with cabergoline. So you can go back and listen to Sinemet, but just a quick summary of some of those. GI upset, nausea and vomiting can certainly happen. It is recommended to give cabergoline with food. Orthostatic blood pressure changes. So Sinemet can do that. Cabergoline can do that, definitely. And that's definitely a dose-dependent adverse effect. Dizziness, headache. Also, remember with dopamine agonists, there have been like case reports of unique or weird psychiatric changes. So impulse behaviors, gambling, shopping, eating, things like that. That's an important thing to remember, particularly if you're noticing that your patient has changed from a psychiatric perspective after starting a medication like cabergoline here. Again, that psychiatric change stuff is really, really rare. There's basically only case reports from it. So it's not going to happen in, you know, 20% of the patients or whatever on cabergoline. It's going to be likely less than 5%, probably less than 1% in most situations there. I mentioned orthostatic blood pressure. I think it's important to reemphasize that if the dosing is more aggressive and the patient maybe hasn't had time to titrate up, that tolerability might go down, and there is some caution on using aggressive doses early can cause some significant orthostatic hypotension. So definitely something important to think about there, particularly if it seems like an aggressive dose or the patient is reporting some issues with tolerability and maybe specifically dizziness and low blood pressure. Monitoring parameters before we get into drug interactions. Blood pressure, obviously, just kind of went through that. We're going to check that out. And then, of course, if we're using it for hyperprolactinemia, we're going to monitor those prolactin levels and obviously the symptoms associated with hyperprolactinemia. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, ambulatory care, BCGP, BCMTMS, or others, go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. In addition, if you're a pharmacy student, we've got content on the NAPLEX exam, getting you prepared for that. Or if you're another healthcare professional, we've got great books with case studies, clinical pearls, drug interactions, and then, of course, our new nursing pharmacology guide as well. So that you can all find links to at meded101.com/store, STORE. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions. So the first place I go, I always think about how a drug works. And this drug is a dopamine agonist. So if we're giving it a dopamine antagonist or dopamine blocker, we're going to potentially kind of have a yin-yang effect where we're basically opposing the other drug's action. So don't do that if we can absolutely avoid that. So classic examples, I alluded to antipsychotics. They have dopamine blocking activity that would directly oppose cabergoline and its dopamine agonist action. Another drug with dopamine blocking activity is metoclopramide. So brand name there is Reglan. I've definitely discussed that in more detail in that previous podcast, so certainly go check that out. Other drug interactions, I mentioned this drug being an ergot derivative or ergotamine-type derivative. So there is potential for kind of increasing serotonin activity when we're using this drug, let's say with SSRIs, for example. So serotonin syndrome increase does risk. increase does carry an increased risk there, excuse me. So that is something to monitor. Not crazy high on my radar, but it is something to think about, particularly in patients who are maybe on a few more serotonergic type drugs. And then, of course, don't use cabergoline with other dopamine agonist drugs, because there might be some additive effects there. So typically most situations we're obviously not going to double up and have duplicate therapy. So you're going to avoid generally using cabergoline with a drug like pramipexole, ropinirole, bromocriptine is another example as well. All right, well, that wraps up the podcast for today. If you enjoyed this episode or enjoy the podcast in general, please leave a rating and review wherever you're listening, whether it's iTunes or other podcast providers. Go sign up, reallifepharmacology.com. Get that free 31-page PDF, absolutely no cost to you, just simply an email. We'll get you access to that. Of course, support the sponsor, meded101.com/store. And if you have comments, suggestions, you can reach out to me, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP on LinkedIn, or at mededucation101@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day.